Gratefulness and thankfulness, if you miss out on that, if you refuse to be grateful to God, and you refuse to be grateful to other people, it makes you a very unhappy person. It does something to you. And the opposite is true. If you're thankful, it awakens something within you, the realizing of all the blessings that you are receiving. Now, I'm going to quote a number of writers, other people, in a somewhat secular way, and I'm somewhat careful of doing that, and yet thankfulness is a command, direct command from God, and research that's done on it that backs that up, or that helps us to understand that further, understand how that works and why God has given it to us, I believe is beneficial. And there's been lots of research and lots of things written about the subject of gratitude and thankfulness. A few years ago, this man from the University of Nebraska conducted a group of studies called the Family Strengths Research Project. He and his researchers identified six qualities that make for strong families. And the first quality, and one of the most important to be found in strong families, was the quality of appreciation. Families are strong in part, this man concludes, because family members express to each other their appreciation for what the other members do and for who they are. So it's interesting that he picked out that it's appreciation to other family members, but in two areas, one for what they do, and number two, for who they are. And that makes it that it can apply to just about everyone, whether they're filling their place fully the way they should, whether they have some flat spots and aren't maybe who they should be. We can still be thankful for them for one or the other of those reasons, if not both. And they're saying that that's one of the most important qualities in strong families, that they express appreciation to each other. In a similar study, another researcher looked into the effect of praise in the workplace. His study showed that the ratio of praise to criticism in the workplace needs to be 4-1 before employees feel that there is balance. So in other words, there needs to be 4 comments of appreciation for every comment of criticism or critiquing. There must be 4 times as much praise as there is criticism before they feel good about their work and about the environment they work in. That was revealing to me and a challenge for me. Gratitude and thankfulness to God and to others is very important. And it affects things like our family relationships, how we relate to each other. Another man says, gratitude is nothing less than the key to happiness. This man is Dennis Prager. He was writing about happiness, but he says this is the key. Gratitude is the key to happiness. We're saying it's a key. Happiness or thankfulness, the key of thankfulness, but he's saying it's the key to happiness. There is a secret to happiness, he writes, and it is gratitude. All happy people are grateful, and ungrateful people cannot be happy. That's what he says. We tend to think that it is being unhappy that leads people to complain, but it is truer to say that it is complaining that leads to people becoming unhappy. Become grateful, and you will become a much happier person. That's an interesting observation, especially in light of how much the Bible teaches us to be thankful, teaches us to not be negative, not complain, we're supposed to give thanks to God. The Psalms, of course, are full of that. And it's not so much because God needs to be thanked, because not God needs the credit, but it has a huge impact on how we are and the effect of us. Not because we need it, Learning to be thankful, whether to God or to other people, is the best vaccination against taking blessings for granted. And the less you take for granted, the more pleasure and joy life will bring to you. But you notice and remember that all happy people are grateful people. Being grateful goes along with being happy. And ungratefulness leads to unhappy people. If you complain, people that complain a lot, it makes you unhappy. It's not that you're unhappy and that therefore you complain. He's saying we complain and therefore we're unhappy. And you can probably think of people like that that just complain about everything, from the government to the weather to their job to everything. And it's very obvious what kind of a person that is, how joyful he is, how much joy he finds in life. And I'm convinced that someone else can be in the exact same situation and can look at it from a different perspective and can be joyful and happy and find blessings in that. All right, let's turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, I want to look at two different psalms this morning. And then I want to look a little bit at ingratitude or unthankfulness real briefly. And then I'll close, and we'll probably give an opportunity for you to give testimonies or give things you're thankful for, or any observations you have in relation to thanksgiving and thankfulness. Psalm 100. Psalm 100, a short psalm, exhortations to praise the Lord, it says at the top of mine. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Be happy, and it explains as we go through this how to do that. But part of that is being thankful to him. Serve the Lord with gladness. And that's one of the ways that we find joy and happiness is in serving. Service. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve him with thankfulness. Serve him. Come before his presence with singing. How do we serve God with gladness? Well, we recognize him. We recognize God. We step back and take an overview of our life. Look at who God is and who we are. And that's what he does in verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. God in heaven is the one that's in charge. He is the one that's in control. He is the one that's directing our lives. And he made us. And he's directing us now. He's the one that made us, not we ourselves. We are his people. We still belong to him. We're still his. We owe him many things. He's still the one that's keeping us alive. He's still the one that's giving us life and breath. And we're the sheep of his pasture. The food we eat, the nourishment we get, the lives that we live are because of him. The blessings that we have are because we're in his pasture, are because he's taking care of us. That's where we're at. That's a brief, simple overview of life, a simplistic look at the way life is. And we certainly owe God a tremendous debt of gratitude, debt of thanks. Verse 4, I like the picture there of a group of people coming together to worship God with thanks. A group of people gathered together at church and thanking God, thanksgiving on their hearts, thanking Him for all he's done. People gathering at God's house with hearts full of praise and admiration for God. Verse 5, in the overall view of things, God is good. Now, there's things that happen to us, that trials and temptations and backsets that happen to us that we don't understand and that don't appear to be helpful, don't appear to be what we need. But in the final analysis of things, as we fully understand it, after this life is over, we're going to find that God, the Lord, is good. His mercy is everlasting. He is merciful to us. He's withholding many of the things that we, many of the judgments that we would rightfully deserve. And He is truth. And it doesn't change. He stays the same. He's not changing the plan for us. He's not changing what we need to do. He's not he's fixed. He's true. And He's not going to change. We can rest assured that He will see a purpose someday in all the things that we have. That's just a psalm of thanks and a group of people thanking God because they realize what He's done for them. Now, in reading and studying for this, I came across an account where, and this was like 40 years ago, a woman was inviting people to her house on, it was like the third week of April or something, April 19 or something, for a Sunday lunch, a Thanksgiving meal. And they were wondering why. Well, it was Thanksgiving because her husband had passed a series of tests, had gone through a series of tests and had come back clear. And she wanted to have a Thanksgiving meal. And as they questioned that out, in their family, the tradition was that they would have Thanksgiving meals through the year for various things. That when they had something to be thankful for, they'd have a Thanksgiving meal. They figured probably about 10 times a year. Well, that seems kind of strange to us, to have a Thanksgiving meal 10 times a year. But really, when it comes down to it, how often should we be having a Thanksgiving meal? How often should Thanksgiving be in our hearts? And how grateful are we? Is 10 times a year nearly enough? We are thankful this past week that there's a national observance of Thanksgiving. We understand to God. We're thankful for that. But Thanksgiving needs to be much more than that. It needs to be on our hearts. And we're to be living in an attitude of thanksgiving to Him. I believe I may have the verses down there that specifically say that. Psalm 145. Let's turn to Psalm 145 next. And I want to read this psalm and pick out several more things about a thankful heart. Psalm 145, verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. I'm just going to stop there momentarily. How do we get a more thankful heart? How do we develop thanksgiving in our hearts? How do we develop gratefulness to God, first of all, and to others? This chapter is speaking about gratefulness to God. But notice how much in those verses we read, and as we go on down through, how much is talking about speaking, mentioning, recounting the blessings that God has given to him. He's listing. He's thinking about them and talking about them. One generation shall praise thy works to another. They're listing God's works and praising God to the next generation. And shall declare thy mighty acts. It's in verse 4. And just each of those verses speaks about recounting, speaks about describing what God has done for them to someone else, speaking about it. How do we develop a more thankful heart? Be aware of what God has done for us. Think about it and talk about it. Tell others about it. Verse 3 recognizes the greatness of God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He's above all. He's over all. He's done more than anyone else. All right, let's keep going. I believe I was about at verse 8, or I'll start at verse 8 again. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Notice the way he's just recounting all the things that God did, even when he fell. God helped him back up, just recounting the different ways that God was with him as he went through his life. The eyes of all, the weight of all, wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Just an interesting psalm of praise to God. Thanksgiving to him for all he's done. Works of God deserve our admiration. And you see that coming out as you read through there. The tremendous admiration and respect that the psalmist had for God. When you make it a point to remember what God has done for us. Verse 9, God is good to all. And many times we tend to think that God's good to other people, but I missed it somehow, or I missed it today anyway. But God is good to all. It's easy for us to be good to some. Well, as we relate to other people, we tend to think that people are partial. But God is not partial to anyone. God reigns and rains blessings upon all men, the just and the unjust. And so everyone has reason to be thankful to him. Verse 20 is interesting. In the midst of this psalm of thanksgiving, the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. The same God that preserved the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, destroyed the Egyptians. Some way in the final judgment, for sure, if not prior to that, God is a just God, and he will destroy the wicked. And yet it's part of God's sovereignty, him being sovereign, him being over all. And even those, even the wicked have reason to thank him and to be grateful to him, because he's blessed them throughout their lives. And yet as they reject him, part of his salvation to the just is going to be the destruction of the wicked. But it gave the psalmist cause to rejoice here. Psalm 35, verse 28, another, just a verse earlier in the Psalms. My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Thinking of someone who has God's blessings, God's provisions that he's receiving is on his mind, and he's talking about it, says, all the day long. Something he's thinking about. When's the first time in the morning that you wake up, when's the first time that you and I think about what God has done for us? It's because of the blessings of God that we're awake, because of the blessings of God that we're here. It's a challenge for me. And can we keep those thoughts of praise to God, of remember his blessings as we go through the day? Make a huge, huge difference. A question: is it possible to be thankful to God for his goodness and not to be thankful to those around us? Now, tying this together between God and those around us, is it possible for you to be thankful to God and not to be thankful to your fellow men? To be thankful to God, praising and blessing him, but complaining and dissatisfied and irritated at your fellow human beings. And I know we're tested in those things many times. And probably it helps us understand how deep our love for God is, or how we need to deepen it. But I think the deeper our love is for God, and the more we're grateful to him, the more we're going to see his blessings coming through other people to us. The more we're going to see other people blessing us. And we'll probably see it as God's hand at work, reaching into our life. But God works through other people. And even if they're, even as they're human and they have their flat spots and all those things, your perspective on God is probably going to change how you view your brother that's relating to you. Think about that. Isn't that the way it is? All right, moving on just a little bit on the subject of unthankfulness or ingratitude. The part of the reason that thanksgiving and thankfulness is so important for us, and that it's commanded so much in the Bible, is because our nature, our carnal nature, we were talking about in Sunday school class, is bent the other direction. Our carnal nature, our nature is to be ungrateful, to complain, to be unthankful. Most of us are just naturally critical by nature. I know that's the way it works for me. But that, I think that's true for all mankind. And that's why the Bible tells us to be thankful. It commands us to be thankful and tells us that we need to choose to be thankful, because our natural tendency is to be the opposite. James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, therewith, speaking about the tongue, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. So that's talking about that conflict between the idea that we're blessing God and being ungrateful to the people around us, and it's saying that that doesn't match, but it has to do with our mouth, what we say, and our nature. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. We need to work on that natural tendency to be critical, to look at others with a critical eye. It's something that we need to make a choice, a conscious choice to work at. Colossians 3:17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The idea is whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you're doing, whether it's what you're saying or what your work is, do it in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to him as you do it. So that means you're keeping him in mind, and it's an attitude of thanksgiving. It's an attitude of thanksgiving as you go through your life, as you talk to others, as you go about your work. You're to choose to keep God in mind, to keep a thankful attitude in your heart. God knows we can unconsciously, we don't always, our natural response is to be critical and unkind. And God knows that we need to choose otherwise. We need to work on that. He knows we have a tendency to a critical spirit. And so he commands us to give thanks to God and the Father by him as we go about our work. God knows we tend to be critical of those around us, and that's why it's important, as we mentioned earlier, even in our families, in the family setting, among our friends, to express thanks, express gratitude more than we're critical, to tip that balance the other direction and be careful that we are a thankful person, even to those around us. Now, one man, a man, Frank Fried, had an excellent piece of advice. He said, the grass is not greener on that side of the fence, on the other side of the fence. The grass is not greener on this side of the fence. The grass is greener where you water it. It's not greener on either side of the fence. What makes grass greener is when you water it. And how do you water it? Well, with thanksgiving. The way to grow a thankful heart is to turn my heart into a garden of thanksgiving. My heart needs to be a place where I plant the seeds of thankfulness. Excuse me, and fertilize and water that garden with constant tending. And that has to do with us, ourselves. We need to be thankful people. But even in our families and our relations and others, as we're develop that attitude of thankfulness and gratitude, that'll make a difference in how green the grass is, how those that complain and are unthankful, it looks like it's better on the other side of the fence. But as we're thankful to those that are helping us, or thankful to those that are around us, it helps us realize the blessings that we have, and our grass starts looking greener, and we realize all the blessings that we have. So really, and I believe he's accurate in that, we have the ability to change. It's really our perspective on things, and yet we base so much on that. We can have the grass can be greener on our side of the fence if we're a thankful person, if we develop that gratitude. Romans 1:21. Let's just turn to a couple verses here yet. Romans 1:21. And this is talking about evil men, the men that have rejected God, men that are walking away from God. But to help us realize how serious unthankfulness is, how serious ingratitude is and what it's a part of, what package it's a part of. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And it goes on, describes immorality of our day and all those things. But notice where it started. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They didn't have that bigger picture we started out with, the God from Psalm 100, where God created us. We realize that God's the creator, God's the God in heaven, and he created us, and we are his. They lost sight of that picture. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And they lost their thankfulness because they didn't realize, they thought they were a product of themselves. They thought they could do whatever they wanted. They thought they were their own. And it goes on into the perversions that follow. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll start reading in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Unthankfulness is such a part of that package of end time turning away from God. We want to be careful to stay away from that. We want to be careful to keep an attitude of thankfulness. And I'm sure as we sit here this morning, we all consider ourselves to be thankful people. And yet, how does the person sitting next to you view you? Or how does your family view you? Or how do the people that you work with, do they consider you to be thankful people? Or how often have they heard you complaining in the last week? How often have they heard you feeling that you were treated unfairly? You were treated unjustly? You received less than you deserved? How often did they hear you expressing yourself that you received blessings that you didn't deserve? You received goodness at the hand of God. You've received things that you didn't deserve. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. No, I want to turn to that. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. All right, and simple verses. Direction to Christians, Christian duties. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we could probably spend all morning or all day or a series of times thinking about that verse, about in everything give thanks. But I think in a simple way, the challenge is for us to find ways to thank God no matter what happens. And there can be terrible things that can happen, and I'm not sure that I'm prepared to tell you exactly how to thank God in the midst of those. But I believe God has a way, and I believe God, all things do work together to those that love him. And so there's some way that we can find to thank God no matter what circumstance we're in. In everything, give thanks. And if it would come natural for us, he wouldn't have to say it like that. It would be part of our natural being, part of our nature. We wouldn't need to be receiving a command like that to choose to give thanks. But he's saying, in everything, give thanks. Make it a part of you. Hebrews 13:15 says this, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Just a call for us to continually be giving God the fruit of our lips, thanksgiving. Whether that's to him in our prayers, whether that's to other people as we're talking about the happenings of life, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The key of thankfulness. Thankfulness is a key. Use it. Be a thankful person. Oftentimes it's just a little, just a word or two. It's not a whole lot. Just a little, an attitude that you express as you're in your conversation. Such a little thing, but it's so powerful. And it controls so much within your life and as a right response to God. But I think many times we don't realize how much of a difference it makes in our own lives, just as we relate to it, the effect that it has, the effect that thankfulness or unthankfulness ends up producing in our own lives. And God help us to be thankful people the way we should.